And then we spent several weeks on analyzing. And of course, that was the mental aspect and so forth. And I told you all that. You don't have to do all that in one day or 1 week or even 1 year. That was just examples of how to study the Bible and things like that. And we talked about analyzing it and so forth, the browsing of the book, the charting of the chapter, the probing of the paragraph, the visualizing a verse, a weighing of a word, and then tabulating a topic last week. And of course, so that was the beginning of it, and tonight we're going to talk about applying it. In other words, what we appreciate, what we've approached, and then we've actually absorbed some of it, and we've analyzed it, and now we're going to apply it to our life. And this is where we get those promises. We saw one in the sermon Sunday morning about godly mothers, about Paul talking to Timothy and saying, you know, the reason that you are the way you are was because Lois was that way first, and she taught Eunice, and then Eunice taught you, and now you're applying what you were taught, and that's why you're a good young man. And so the key is not all the appreciation and the absorbing and the analyzing and things like that just to get a bunch of knowledge, because it doesn't really matter how much knowledge you got if you're not doing anything with it. So in other words, it would be better for us to know three verses by heart and do all three of those with all of our might than to know all the verses and do nothing. In other words, we're not applying it. We just have it knowledge. And the Bible talks about that. We basically, there's people that they, and I'm going to paraphrase here, they just get all this knowledge, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, they don't put into practice what it says. And so, and I believe there are some guys, I know there were some guys in the Bible that says when they get to heaven, that God's going to tell them, depart. I never knew you. And they're going to start giving excuses. Well, I read the Bible. And I did these works, and I did this, and I did that. Depart from me, I never knew you. So again, it's not about the knowledge. You know, we can say, oh, I got to study, and I got to get a degree, and I got to have this, and I got to know the ins and outs, and how it applies, and the prophecy. And no, it's more important to do, even if it is a little bit, do what you know instead of all what you know. And so we're going to look at that. I'm going to read a couple of statements. Here's my first, and it's basically a statement putting all those A's together. Applying the Bible comes from an appreciation and a sound approach and a personal absorption with a confident and careful analyzing of its pages. All right, I'll read that again. All right, so applying, that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the Bible comes from that appreciation, a sound approach, not mixed up with false doctrine, things like that, and a personal absorption, in other words, what you've meditated, what you've memorized, what you've put into practice, carefully analyzing its pages, then putting it into practice. And now these three next statements I'm going to tell you is basically the whole sermon. All right, so after I read number three, don't cut me off, okay? We're going to put it into practice. But these three statements right here are the most important thing tonight. This is what I want you to actually grasp, leave here. And these are my three introductory statements, and then, of course, we'll get in the outline of stuff. But here it is. Our ultimate goal of Bible study. Why we browse a book. Why we chart a chapter. Why we do all those things. Our ultimate goal of Bible study is not to do something to the book. There's a lot of people out there today that they want to know this so they can prove it wrong. I mean, they spend hours and days and getting other books and things like that. I know there's got to be a loophole in there. I know this has got to be wrong. And they probably know more about this book than I do, but just so they can try to prove it wrong. Then there's a lot of people that spend a lot of people trying to prove it right. In other words, you know, that stubbornness that we have, God put it in there. But it's supposed to be channeled. Okay? It's supposed to be where, like the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. So God's stubborn. He's like, look, I'm not changing. This is the way I believe. This is the way I created everything. I am God and I change not. I'm stubborn about that. So same thing here. We can have some stubbornness. You know, I got married. I'm stubborn about that. I'm not looking anymore. All right? I said I do. I'm done. And I'm going to be with her forever. Okay? Until I die or she dies. And, you know, the way I treat her sometimes, I'll probably die first because she's going to knock me upside the head. But anyway, my ultimate goal is not to know something about this book, to try to prove it wrong or even try to prove it right, but to, and not even to show people how smart I am. You know, there's a lot of people out there, they will, well, what I've gleaned from my study, and they want to wax eloquent and tell you how smart they are to impress. Okay, I don't want to preach this, study this, and even deliver this to impress. I didn't pass that point. I'm not a good enough speaker. I'm not intelligent enough. I definitely don't have a grasp on the English language, much less the Greek and the Hebrew, enough to impress anybody. But I do want to preach it, teach it, show it, study it to affect somebody. All right? What we saw Sunday, obviously, was the culmination with Brian and Autumn joining the church. And then the Sunday before that, we saw them go in there. And I didn't see this part, but she put it on Facebook. They were smooching up there in that baptistry. I don't know if you saw that picture or not. But after they got baptized, they give each other a kiss. And I was like, whoa, I didn't see that. You know, covered the kids' eyes. But anyway, they got baptized. But then the week before that, they accepted Christ as their personal Savior. All right, so I'm glad I knew enough of this to tell them about it so it could affect their destination. All right? And I may have stuttered, and I may have but praise the Lord, I had enough of in here and in here that I could give to them, and they accepted that fact, and they got saved, and now they're going to heaven. They've been affected. Now, if there were, you know, oh man, you should have heard it. It was just like coming off a, you know, flowing off a smooth tongue. I doubt it. All right. I mean, he just knew exactly what, that's not the purpose. So when I study this, it's not to prove it right or to prove it wrong or to even impress anybody. So our ultimate goal of Bible study is not to do something to this book. And here it is. But let this book do something to us. That's the key. So again, I mean, I can have the abilities and the knowledge and all that stuff, but if I'm not doing anything with it, it's useless. So I need to study it not to impress and not to prove or not to, you know, just be smart, but let it do something to me. And again, I could spend the rest of the night telling you what it's done to me, because I was lost and on the way to hell. It changed that fact. I was a rebellious punk weed of a teenager that only wanted to do what I wanted to do, and it whipped me into shape. I'm a lazy, no good for nothing adult, but it's whipped me into shape, things like that. So it's done a lot to me, and I'm glad for the fact. Statement number two. Statement number one was this: our ultimate goal of Bible study is not to do something with this book, but to let this book do something to me or to us. Number two, observation. Which that's where we were talking about that analyzing, browsing the book, charting the chapter, probing. Observation and interpretation are not enough. It is application that completes the Bible study process. So again, a lot of people study it. They observe what it says and observe what the people there were doing. And they even in the interpretation. And they'll get into the Greek and the translations and things like that and what this word means and so forth. And again, I've done a lot of that. I took classes in that when I was in Bible colleges and things like that. But again, it is what it is. Apply it. It doesn't matter if you know the Greek translation of that word. God gave it to you in English. Just apply it. And it doesn't matter if you can go to the Old Testament and say, well, this is the Hebrew definition, where in the originals it said this. Just apply what it says. So it's not observation and interpretation. That's not enough. It's actually the application that completes the Bible study. So put it into practice. Third statement. One, ultimate goal, not to know something about it, but let it do something to us. Secondly, observation and interpretation is not enough. Application is what completes the process. And here's the third thing. Don't just read it or study it. Don't just read it or study it. Here it is. But apply it and live it. That's the key. And so again, if it's only three verses that you know that you've applied to your life and you're living them with the best of your ability, you're getting blessed by God. You're earning rewards in heaven. And so on and so forth. So now if we can add to that, praise the Lord. But that's the key. That's the three main points here in this application. And so if I had a PowerPoint thing or something like that, I would draw you a map of this. But anyway, everybody picture a bullseye. Everybody know what a bullseye looks like? You got the little red dot in the middle, and then you got a different colored ring, and then a different colored ring, and so on and so forth. Just picture in your mind the bullseye. All right? And so if you're throwing darts, that's what you're throwing at, the bullseye. If you're shooting a bow and arrow, that's what you're shooting at, the bullseye. If you're shooting a rifle, that's what you're shooting at, the bullseye. And that is telling you how good you did. So God has a goal, a bullseye, a target that He's trying to reach. And this is the bullseye. All right, this is the most important thing. All right, a lot of times we get in our mind that we're the most important thing. But we're not. This is the most important thing. Okay? And so this is supposed to be the bullseye. Now this is supposed to be, and where's the bullseye? Right dead in the center. In the center. And so in other words, my life is supposed to be centered around this. And then where are we according to this? We're in this world, but not of this world. We're the salt, we're the light. And so again, so from this book, if our life is centered around that and we're in this world, the world is the third center, this is supposed to get to the world. But how's it supposed to get there? It's not going to get there by itself. We're the carriers. We're the spokesperson. We're the ambassadors. We're the ones that's supposed to bring this. But this was the most important thing. But then it's supposed to be surrounded by us, which we're in the world. So that's what we have in our thing. So the Word of God, what is our life to be centered around? And I'll give you a couple of references here. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That coming short is the bullseye. In other words, if we were to get to heaven on our own, we'd have to hit the bullseye every day of our life. All right, but we can't do that. I mean, even the best dart throwers, even the best archers, even the best sniper rifle guys don't hit it every time. And that's what that verse is saying is. It says here, "For all have sinned." All of us have missed the bullseye. All of us has not done what this book says to do in every aspect of our life. We've come short of that. And we've come short of the glory of God. So we're not hitting the bullseye every time. It's in the center. Here's a couple of verses about the center. Psalm 119:11. "Thy word have I hid in my," where? "Heart." Okay, "that I might not sin against thee." Okay, and of course, I'll go back to some Hebrew here. that Hebrew word right there, heart, doesn't mean the kathumpity, kathumpity, kathumpity one. All right, just like Jesus is not really in your heart when you get saved. I ask Jesus in my heart. He's not in there. He's in the center of your life. Everything's supposed to revolve around Him. The heart of a watermelon, my favorite part. One, because it's sweetest. Two, there's no seeds ever. All right, even though I like to spit seeds at my wife. But anyway, the heart. In other words, the Word of God. "Thy word have I hid in my heart," right dead in the center of my life. Everything revolves around the Bible. Everything in my life revolves around, "Thy word have I hidden in the center of my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Matthew 12:34. And God's talking about these people that's not doing that. They're not centering their life around the Bible. They're not even trying to study it and apply it. And what does God say in Matthew 12:34? "O generation of vipers." He calls them a bunch of snakes. All right, and a lot of people, "Oh, I don't think you should call people names and sticks and stones and all that kind of stuff." I'm sorry. God called the people that doesn't center their life around the Bible a bunch of snakes, vipers. "How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart," again, not the kathumpity to kathumpity, but out of the center of your being, "out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." What you're all about. Matthew 15:19. "For out of the heart," the center of our life, "proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blaspheme." Blasphemes. And so we see here, out of the center of a person, that's where all this stuff comes from. That's why God wants us to hide His Word in the center of us, so that we might not do those things. So if I've studied the Bible, I've applied it to me, when I get tempted to have evil thoughts, nope, not going to, because the Bible says to have good thoughts. Think on these things, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just. That's how I do it. I take that Bible study and put it in the center of my heart. And when I want to think evil, I say, nope, I'm going to think pleasant. I'm going to think good. Whatsoever things are just and right and all those things. Think on these things. All right? Murders. I've thought about it. You know, my flesh, anybody passes me. All right? I don't want to shoot somebody for passing me, but people do it. You know, cut me off in traffic. Boom, boom, boom. What in the world? Just back off. Go ahead, sir. Or even ma'am. Go right ahead. It's not worth it. So that's what we got to do. We have to say, you know, in honor preferring one another, hide these words in my heart, in the center of my heart, that I want to an honor prefer. You go right ahead. Not I'm going first, because it's in there. So we have to get those things out by hiding the truth in our hearts. Adulteries, fornications. The Bible says, you know, about the murderers, Jesus said, yeah, the Bible says in the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill. But in the New Testament, I'm saying, don't even hate your brother. Let's one up it. Don't commit adultery. Don't even look in lust. And so he's saying that what we need to do is study this book and put it in our heart, in the center of us. Let the Word of God revolve around us. Why? Because in Hebrews 4:12 it says this, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. So in other words, if I say, all right, this book or this verse says I can have evil thoughts in the center of me, but I also can do what the Bible says and have good thoughts. What sort of things are just and honest and good report? Think on these things. Murders, I can prefer. Adulteries, I cannot. Thefts, I can. That's not mine. Don't lie. All these things. And so if I put the good stuff in there, that Word of God is quick and powerful, will help me make the right decisions. Dividing asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints of the marrow. And here it is. As a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so again, that's why I need to study that book, absorb it, apply it, so I can be the discerner. Should I kill or not kill? The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, is going to discern, give me the discernment not to. Should I lie or steal? Nope, the Word of God is going to give me, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. It's going to give me that power to discern. The Word of God is that way. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed. So Paul had come to the point that he realized this. All right, I've been living a wicked life, persecuting Christians, you know, burning down churches, putting people in jail, things like that. I got saved on the road to Damascus, and I started reading this book. And I've come to the point that I've put enough of it in me that I have that discernment. And he says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed. Again, the devil will say, you know, shh, don't tell anybody you know what the Bible says. Shh, don't tell anybody you're a Christian. Don't tell anybody you have discernment. No. Paul's like, I'm not ashamed. He's like, I'm going to shout it from the housetop. Now, I'm not going to be belligerent and get locked up, things like that, even though he did go to jail. But it says here, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I've centered my life around it. I'm going to tell other people. So a couple more introductory things here. It says here, I want to apply the Bible and put it in my heart, in the center of me, so I don't sin. Why? Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want to put the Word of God in there so I don't sin. And I don't want to sin against God. I want to put the Word of God in there so I can be a discerner of those right things. I want to put the Word of God in there so I can be a soul winner, like Paul was saying. So the Word of God in the center of my life will instruct me. It will motivate me. It will empower me. Anything that I need to live this Christian life, it'll be there if I hide the Word of God in my heart. Couple other verses. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? Who can know that? Anybody that wants to. But it says here, but we have the mind of Christ. And so that's what Paul was saying. Just put this in your center. Center your life around this. Center your mind around this. Center your actions around this. You have the mind of Christ. I don't know what God would do. He tells us what he would do. I don't know how God would respond. He tells us how to respond. I don't know how God would act. He tells us how he would act. Put it in your center. And Paul was telling the church at Corinth, I know y'all are baby Christians right now, and you're growing, and you're enjoying the milk of the Word, but get to that meat. Center your life around this. We have the mind of Christ. And Philippians 2 is where you were. Look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, Jesus centered his mind, he centered his life around doing what God sent him down here to do. And so that's what it says here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So every time we read the Bible, we can apply it. And what it does, it kills that sin and puts virtue in there. Because out of the center of that heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, those evil thoughts, those murders, those fornications, those lying, those theft. It'll come out of here if our life is centered around wrong and wickedness. But if we hide the Word of God in our heart, it'll give us the discernment. So if it's in there, what it'll do, it will expose sin. If you hide the Word of God in here and apply it, it'll expose sin. You'll get that uneasy feeling. It's called the Holy Spirit, that small, still voice. If you've put it in there and somebody says, hey, let's do this, you'll get that uneasy feeling. I don't know. And they might try, you sissy, chicken, what's wrong with you, you dudhead, you party pooper. They'll try all that stuff. But the Word of God, if it's in there and you're applying it, it'll say, hey, don't do that. It'll expose sin. It will cleanse and purify. John 15:3 tells us that. If we put the Word of God in the center of our life, it'll cleanse and purify. I know some of you are clean freaks. You like to spray stuff, wipe stuff, double mop it, double sweep it, whatever. That's what the Word of God will do. If we hide it in there, it'll clean and purify. It's better than any special stuff you can concoct. Buy whatever. It'll clean and purify. It's better than Lysol. It's better than anything. Okay? It'll help us if we had it in there. It gives us strength. It's better than any protein shake. Is it better than anything that you can put in there? Oh, I'm going to take this vitamin and I'm going to get all swole and I'm going to be Superman and the Hulk all combined. No. But if we hide the Word of God in our life, the Bible says it will give us strength. It'll also equip us for battle. If we're in some type of work field, there's tricks of the trade, tools of the trade. I got to have this, and I can do this, because if you don't have those tools of the trade or tricks of trade, it gets frustrating. Changing brakes on your car. If you don't have all the right tools, you can get frustrated. I can testify. All right. If you're changing plumbing. I've been working at plumbing in my house. Oh, my goodness, I can testify. You can get in the flesh like that. And a plumber will come in there. He's got the tricks of the trade. He's got the tools of the trade. Whoop, whoop, see ya. 5 minutes, what it took me 2 hours to do. All right, so that's what I was talking about. But if you put the Word of God in here, it equips you. What does it say in Ephesians? Helmet of salvation, shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness. Our feet shod with preparation of the gospel. It gives us the equipment, what we need to do, the tricks of the trade. So what we see, and I've already given you that, the Word of God is the bullseye. It's where our life should surround or center around the Word of God, and then we're inside the world. That's how we get the salt to the earth, and that's how we get the light of the world, things like that. Because the Great Commission in Matthew 28 says, go into all the world, but with the Word of God in the center of our life. Because it's not us. All right? It's what the Word of God's done to us that will affect other people. So God's full design is putting His Word to work. And the Bible is what the world needs. And so it's only going to come through us. So we got to put it in the center. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. I'll read these verses. It says here, and that from a child I have known the Holy Scriptures. That's why we have Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents. That's why we have Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he's not depart. So in other words, God is saying, put the Bible in them. Put the Bible in them. That's why I love what's going on behind that wall. All right? Those kids will come home tonight quoting some verses, singing some Bible songs, learning some principles. Those teenagers in there, same thing. And if they will apply them, it'll help them in their life. Now, we can't make them, especially when they go from that one to that one. All right? And when they go from that one to out there, whoo, we really don't have a say. I'm 18. I can do. Please apply the Bible. just because you turned 18, don't knock it all out of your head and out of your heart. Still center your life around the Bible. That's what we're praying for. It will equip you. It'll help you. It'll give you guidance. It'll give you counsel. It'll give you water flowing from the throne of God, the Bible says in Psalm 1. And so it is a book that can do that. Now, that 1 Timothy 3:15-17, and that from a child I have known the Holy Scriptures, which was able to make us wise unto salvation. So the reason kids get saved is because they hear verses from you at home at family devotions. They hear verses from Miss Kim in Sunday school. They hear verses from Miss Sharon and King's kids. When they're not sleeping, they hear some verses from me. And they get it over and over and over and over. All right? From a child, they have known the Holy Scriptures. And again, that's why Sunday school is important. That's why the teen department is important. That's why the Sunday school and the King's kids are important. And that's why family devotions are important. Why? We're putting the Word of God into them as a little kid. And it's made them wise unto salvation. I preached a whole sermon about this. The Holy Scriptures made me wise unto salvation, but it made me wise unto a whole bunch of other things. And so forth. So it says here, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so we're supposed to appreciate it, absorb it, analyze it, and apply it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So if we put this in the center of our life, we will know that that's not what saves us. Jesus saves us. We'll know it's not our works that get us to heaven. It's Jesus that gets us to heaven. We'll know we're supposed to live a certain way to be the light and the salt of the earth. We'll know that. Why? Because it's profitable for doctrine. We'll know if somebody says, hey, you know, God created some people for hell and some people for heaven. It's not right. It's not His will that any should perish. He created us all to accept His Son. Now, if we don't, that's that person's fault. But it'll know for doctrine, for reproof. If we need to get right with God, that Holy Spirit will be telling us. For correction, it'll tell us how to correct it. And an instruction for righteousness. Why? Well, because we've applied it. So then verse 17, it says here that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished, unto all good works. And so that truly furnished basically means we'll be equipped. So if we center our life around the Bible, we apply it to our life, we'll be equipped to handle any situation. That's why the Bible says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. In other words, I don't understand. I saw this person, they lost a loved one. And yeah, they shed tears. And yes, they were sad and so forth. But they handled it with grace. And they why? Because the Bible says that if we center our life around the God will give us that comfort when we need it. That grace that He gives us. And so forth. I've been in hospital rooms and funeral parlors and things like that. And the person that I went to comfort is preaching and comforting me. Why? Because they had their whole life, they put the Bible in the center of life. And again, sometimes that's good to say what you need to hear. Things like that. That's not always the case. But anyway, if you've got the Word of God in there, it will come out where it's supposed to come out and help you, and you'll be equipped. So applying the Bible, when we apply the Bible, it's our way to God, whether it be salvation, whether it be answered prayer, whether it be instruction and discernment, things like that. Applying the Bible is our way to God. And then when we actually apply it, is our walk with God. So our way to God and our walk with God. And that brings us to the 3 points. I'll give you them real quick. So when you're applying the Bible, here's point number one. Expect the Bible to teach you vital truths. Expect the Bible to teach you vital truth. And so when you go to the doctor, you have faith in medicine, you have faith in their studies, and you expect them to help you with your issues. And sometimes they can, and sometimes they don't. All right? But the Bible, it's 100% guarantee. Okay, God, so just expect it. When you start applying the Bible, it's going to happen. Expect the Bible to teach you great truth. So what we do, we expect it to tell us who God is. And he tells us in there how great and mighty God is. You read about it and all the prayers He answers and all the miracles He did and all the things that He did, the heaven that He's creating for us and the salvation He provided for us. If you apply that book, it will show you, just expect it, it'll show you how great God is. Here's a negative one. If you start reading that book and you start applying it to you, it'll show us how awful we are. Ugh, I blew that one. I've never seen that. Never applied that. Oop, I need to apologize for that. Because that's what it does. It'll show you how awesome He is. But when we look in that mirror will tell you, hey, you need to shave. Or hey, you need to comb your hair. Or, hey, there's some fungus growing on your teeth. You might need to brush them. That mirror does not lie. Hey, you're short. Hey, you're tall. Hey, you need to drop a few LBs. Hey, you need to, you know, you're skinny. You need to eat some more. The mirror is going to tell you exactly what is in front of it. So when you apply this book, it'll tell you how great God is, but sometimes it'll, oh, wretched man that I am. There's a lot of them that have said that. It'll show us how sinful we are and how much we do need God. But then it also, not only will it show us how great God is and how needing we are, but then it'll show us what God will do for us. I was on my way to hell, but now I'm on my way to heaven. I made lots of mistakes, and now that I'm applying that, I make a lot fewer. I'm trying my best. I got help. The devil just deceived me and flattened me and caused me to flip and make messes of my life. But now that I'm applying this, I can resist him some. I can say, hey, that's a temptation, but God gave me a way of escape. So I'm going to take it right here. So I start applying that Bible. And we see here that it'll show us how great God is, how much we need him, but then what he can do. So number one was expect the Bible to tell you vital truths when you start trying to apply it. Secondly, allow the Bible to involve you and work in you personally. Okay, a lot of times when we read it, this is, again, I'll just use myself as an example. When we read it, it was like, well, yeah, the preacher needs to do that. If he wasn't doing that, we'd fire him. But hey, if you're looking in the mirror, it's talking to you. Well, I'm not a preacher. Well, you're a Christian. And so the way I looked at it as a teenager when I got right with the Lord, you know, I may not be a deacon or I may not be a pastor or I may not be, but I need to be available to be one. So I'm going to just start applying this. And, you know, that's for good Christians. No. Allow the Bible. Just expect that he's going to help us and help and apply those vital truths, but then allow it. Don't resist it. And I got a couple of things I'll read through here. Allow it to help you in your relationship with God. If you will allow it to, it will do this. It will let you have fellowship that you will enjoy. If you'll allow it. I've never had one of these much. I think maybe first through fifth grade I had a few of these, and then my 11th and 12th grade year I had good ones of these. Report cards. All right? And a lot of times we got them handed to us. Go give this to your mom, dad, get it signed. Oof. All right. Sometimes they mailed it because they knew kids like me that would try to, you know, get your girlfriend to sign your mom's name. You can write better than I can. That type stuff. So they mailed it. But those, you know, first through fifth grade in my 11th and 12th grade year, I had no problem handing them to them. Hey, look here. Why? Because they were good reports. Those other ones, I was, you know, so same thing. If we start applying and living like God wants us to live, we'll have that fellowship with him that we can enjoy. Not only if we'll allow the Bible to work in us and let God work in us personally, it will give us commands to obey. It will give us promises to claim. It will give us prayers to echo. There was prayers in the Bible, and the Bible says he's no respecter of persons. So if you answered a prayer for that guy, you ought to be able to do it for me. So it'll help us in our relationship with God. Secondly, it'll help you in your relationship with Satan. And when you first hear that, you're like, I don't have a relationship with Satan. No. He's there. Right? He's not going to go. I preached yesterday at the Preacher's Fellowship about how to fight Satan. And I told him, I was like, look, we have three enemies that we're going to fight for the rest of our life. One is our own flesh. Two is this world's philosophy. And three is the devil. And so you get your flesh in check by applying this Bible, that's going to make Satan mad. You get this worldly philosophy in check by applying this Bible and the world can't tempt you, that's going to make Satan mad. And so he says he walks to and fro throughout this earth. And sometimes God will even say, have you considered my servant Job? And allow him to attack you. So we will have a relationship with Satan, but if we'll apply this book, it'll do this. It will allow us to resist him. And that's what the Bible says. Resist him and he will flee from you. Right? But it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the princes of power of the air. So it's not like this. Okay, Satan, I'm going to jack your jaw, buddy. You come over here close enough to me. No, we can't see him. Right? But how we do it, when that temptation comes to have the evil thoughts, to that temptation comes to do that wicked act. We have to resist him by applying the Word of God. Just lie on your taxes, you know, and keep more back. No, the Bible says thou shalt not lie and do the right thing. Just do this. No. And that's how you resist him, by applying the Word of God. You will see his devices. They'll be more recognizable to you. You can say, hey, that's just Satan's temptation. Or that's just him trying to get me to do something wrong. And so we will have a relationship with it. Sins to avoid. Armor to wear. We talked about it a while ago. So in applying this Bible, we'll have a relationship with God. We'll have that relationship with Satan that we have to have. We've got to fight him. Next, we'll have relationship with others. You start applying this book and other people are going to see that you're growing. They're going to ask you, what's different about you? Why don't you go to these places? Or why do you always respond this way? It's going to affect, you start applying that book, it's going to affect your relationship with others. Even in your home, it'll help. In your church, it'll help. In society, your job, your neighborhood, it'll help. In this world, it'll help. Next, if you start applying the Word of God, it will affect your relationship with yourself. Now, I talk to myself sometimes. I don't know if you do. I wouldn't do it out loud and in public much. You know, people are going to think you're psycho. All right, but we do have a relationship with ourselves. We have a past that we have to think about. All right, now the Bible says that Paul said, I forget those things. So that's what you have to do on purpose. Forget them. And remember that they're under the blood and they can't affect you. If that's how you apply this book. And then we have our present, how we're supposed to behave. It will affect you. And then our future, obviously, will stand before God and give an account. So, applying the Bible, expect the Bible to teach you vital truth. Secondly, observe the Bible and how it involves you personally. And lastly, number three, recognize where you need to apply the truth. Recognize where you need to apply the truth. So, we start applying the Bible, and we're studying it, and we're expecting God to show me. So when you go to read this book, pray. Say, God, if there's something, I believe the one verse says, if there be any wicked way in me, all right, God, if there's something, search me and try me, O Lord, and then read it and apply it, get it out of there, and expect it to help you and recognize where you're supposed to apply that truth. And the last two verses that we'll look at is this, Psalm 119:97. These two verses are applying the Bible in a nutshell. Psalm 119:97, it says this, Oh, how I love thy law. Of course, this was the psalmist, David, talking about the portion of the Bible that he had. You start reading it and studying it and applying it and you see how it affects all the things that we talked about tonight, you'll fall in love with it. And that David said, Oh, how I love thy law. And it says this, It is my meditation all the day. So in other words, that bullseye we looked at a while ago with the Word of God, then our life, then outside of it, the world. David had realized that if I'll put the Word of God in the center of my life and meditate on it all day long, it will help me fall in love with it. Second one is Psalm 119:101. It says here, I have refrained my feet. And I believe this verse was after the fact that his feet were not refrained from Bathsheba's house. But he had gotten right with the Lord. The Bible talks about it in Psalm 72, where he cried on his bed and begged God forgiveness. And he had applied the Word of God. And then he says, I have refrained my foot from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. And so if we put the Word of God in our center, that word of God that I've hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. He said right here, I've put so much Bible in here and applied so much Bible that it has helped me to refrain my foot from going after somebody or going after some sin. So, I'll give you this conclusion here. When you read the Bible, Old Testament, this is going to be in a nutshell here. You start reading the Bible in Genesis to Deuteronomy, you have teaching of the law. Okay, teaching of the law. And the Bible even says that the law is our schoolmaster, teaching us. Basically showing how that the shedding of blood and the Lamb of God, and it had to be a male lamb and a righteous lamb spot. It was teaching us what was coming. So when we read the Old Testament, how we can apply that, it was teaching us the laws from Genesis to Deuteronomy. Then you continue with Genesis all the way to Esther, and that's history. That's history of the children of Israel, in and out of captivity, doing that which was right in their own eyes and things like that, doing that which was in God's eyes, things like that. That's the history of the Israelites. So that's how you apply it. Next, we have what we call reflection. And you read from Job all the way to Song of Solomon. And this is how these men lived and how they were tempted and how they were successful or unsuccessful and things like that. And we can reflect how they did it and apply it to our life. And then we have Isaiah to Malachi. That's the prophecy of what was going to happen. Isaiah said, we like sheep have gone astray. And then the Messiah was coming all the way to Malachi. That the Messiah's coming. That was prophetic preaching. All to point towards Christ. So that's the Old Testament in a nutshell, how you should apply it. New Testament, we have the teachings and the commandments. And those are direct applications. Those are basically the thou shalt not. Not Paul shouldn't, but you shouldn't. Not Jesus shouldn't, but you shouldn't. Or you should, or you shouldn't. That's just teaching, their direct application. Then we have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. These are known as New Testament history. While Christ was on the earth and what the apostles did when they left. These are direct. We can take some of those applications directly to us, but it's also according to their example. This is what Matthew did, Mark did, Luke did, John did. This is what the other apostles did in the book of Acts. So we can apply that. Then next we see here the testimonies of the epistles. And this is the churches that Paul started, the men of God that he influenced, things like that. These are the epistles, pastoral epistles, and things like that. So we can apply that according to their testimony. They say, well, this is what I did, and it worked for me. This is what I didn't do, and it helped me out. So we can apply their testimonies. And lastly, we have, praise the Lord, the book of Revelation, the rest of the prophecy that's going to happen, the rapture of the church and the ascension and the new world and the new earth, or the new earth, new heaven, and eternity begins. Satan will be cast in the lake of fire. That's what we have. We can apply there. So that's the Bible in a nutshell on how to apply it. So tonight we are finishing up Bible study, and I've got a new one picked out that we'll start studying on Wednesday night. I think it's going to be on happiness. Because that's what we all want. We all want to be happy. And so we're going to start a study on happiness maybe next Wednesday night, and we'll see how it goes. But that's tonight in a nutshell, applying the Bible. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I ask that you could help us, Lord, to realize how important applying the Bible. And of course, sometimes we're going to think, oh, it's 66 books. It's too much. It's too thick. There's too many principles. I can't apply it. Lord, just help us to be determined just to grab one and apply it. And then once we get that down, grab another one and apply it. It's just step by step and so forth and so on. And Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, to do our best to live in a way that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.